thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
First of all, as I always do, when I share my story, I just want to give, thank God for this opportunity to share on how He has transformed my life. This is all about what He has done, and it's all glory to God alone. And as it says in Psalm 66, 16, let me tell you what He has done for me. So my name, as Paul said, is Andrew MacDonald. In case anybody's wondering, I'm 6'10". That's the most asked question. And if I don't duck my head, I'll have a sore head. So, because all the doors are about 6'4". I'm from Portadown, and some people call me Macker, Big Macker, Mackers, or Andy. And being a football referee, I've been called all sorts. So, but you know, what matters the most of all to me is that my Lord and Saviour, the King of Kings, calls me His own. I'm age 43, you know you wouldn't think it, but yes, I'm 43. I'm a family, I'm married to beautiful Michelle here. In case anybody's looking at Sam Michelle or E. Carter, I think it's Michelle with one L. So that's how you spell her name, don't get it wrong. And I'm dad to Matilda, who is 15, Sadie, who is 9, and Arthur, who is 6, and stepdad to Lauren, and also granda to wee baby Sammy. I love football and food and going to the gym, but it's hard to get those last two right because, you know, you can't out-train the bad dad, and I love food, so I had plenty at William's house today, and we're very, very grateful for that. For a job, I work at Portadown train station. Well, I go there, but I don't do a lot of work. But at my place of work, I get to meet all kinds of people. And God has given me some great encounters with people in my place of work. So, I was born in 1980. I grew up in Union Street, Eggerstown, a very loyalist estate in Portadown, with a church at the bottom of our street, and also at the bottom of our street, there was a peace line to separate the two communities. I remember growing up, Mum and Dad had to check under our car to make sure it was safe for us to get into before going to school. And if we had went near that car before it had been checked over, we would have soon knew about it, and rightly so, and this is only for our own safety and protection. And things were always, you know, sometimes on edge. There were on edge at times living in Eggerstown Estate. There was a lot of rioting in this area. Burnt out cars, petrol bombs, paint bombs, rubber bullets, all being used in these riots. And the street lights would have been put out, you know, early. And I can remember hearing people saying, you know, make sure the children are in early tonight. And this was just the environment in which we lived and were brought up in. And things were like this for many people in our community and indeed our country at this time. At the age of 17, and again, at the age of 21, I found myself in court. I was also asked to join two different paramilitary organisations. But God, you know, protected me from these things. And things could have been a lot worse when I look back, a lot worse for me. I also remember times, you know, tiptoeing about the house at night if you were going to get a drink, make sure your shadow was not on the kitchen window. The kitchen was at the front of our house. You're always sort of afraid of what might come in from the outside. And also, we would have been told to stay away from the front door and not to answer to anyone. Also, growing up, I had a real passion for football. Also had a real passion for the flute bands. You know, and I might not have had all that I wanted growing up, but I had all that I needed. But thank God that I had a mum that sent me out to Sunday school and BB and to the church youth club. Also growing up, I was blessed to have my granny and granda who lived in the same street as me. My granny was a real godly woman who faithfully prayed for me for years and indeed for all of our family. Then, you know, this is sort of whenever I started to consider things. You know, my granda had took bad on a Thursday night. And we as a family all got called to the hospital to see my granda. And it was, you know, yeah, my granda had took bad Thursday night and family all got called to the hospital to see my granda. And it was no secret that I was my granda's favourite. My granda was more like my dad to me. We were very, very close. When it was my turn to go in and see my granda, he said to me, get me Bill Adair. And Bill Adair was the minister from his church. You know, when we arrived at the hospital, we were told that my granda needed emergency surgery. If he didn't have a surgery, he would die tonight. And if he did have a surgery, he might survive. But so I went out and asked my granny for the minister's phone number. And my granny at first was like a lot of other people, I'm sure, said, you can't be phoning the minister at this time of night. But, you know, if my granda had have asked me to do anything, I would have done it. I mean, like, I would have run through a brick wall for my granda. So I got the minister's number and phoned him, and he came over to the hospital. And my granda, he gave his life to the Lord that night in the hospital. So, hallelujah. Praise God for that. Then, after this, I really started to think a lot about how would I ever see my granda again. Then, shortly after this, in October, my granny passed away. My granda had passed away in May. My granny passed away in October in the same year. And I remember the minister from her church came walking in. I remember my mum had found my granny passed away and she come and got me. We were the first two people there. Then the minister come in and my granny had passed away and she was crocheting blankets, you know, for the charities to be sent to foreign countries for orphans. And the minister just walked in and he simply said, there's one sure thing where she is now, and that's with her Lord and Saviour in glory now. So again, praise God for that. You know, and God, and for God to choose me to be present when these things were happening, thank Him for it. You know, so then, as I mentioned earlier, I had a passion for the flute bands. And there was only one band for me growing up in Portadown. That was the Portadown True Blues Flute Band. I was in the band for 12 years. I became chairman of the band for a few years. After 12 years or so in the band, in 2008 this was, I left the band as I had two jobs and was finding it hard to have the same commitment to it all. At this time, I was also, I had two or three jobs. Had a full-time job and a wee part-time job, and then I also became a part-time soldier in the Royal Irish Regiment and was finding it hard to fit all these things in. Fast forward 10 years, in 2018, it was the 50th anniversary of this, the Portadown True Blues Flute Band. We got together and formed up an old boys band to celebrate the 50th anniversary, and I sort of stayed away at the start because I had been chairman of the band and I knew if I went up, people would be saying, here, will you do this and do that? I knew I would get a job to do. So, but when I did go up to band practice, I did get a job to do within the band and I was the bandmaster and, you know, the one who blows the whistle and calls the tunes at the back and shouts orders at people to make sure they're in line. That was my job. Somebody had to do it, so they asked me to do it. I had to do it. So, yeah, but then the minister from St. Mark's Church of Ireland was setting up, came along to our band practice one night, and he shook his hand and made him very welcome, and he shook my hand too. And I came away thinking, there's not many ministers going to come to the Lloyd's Flute Band practice. he was setting up what we have in Portadown, his Flute Band Church. And it's a church flute band that plays the hymns in the flute band style. So a few of us had to go along and support him. And again, I did not want to go near this, but I was coming out of work one night around 9 p.m. and practice had started at 8 p.m. And I thought, sure, I'll just nip up into the hall, you know, and sit at the back and show my face and everybody see me and I'll walk out. But God had other ideas. You know, I was handed a flute and I played the tunes and I really, really enjoyed it, you know. Then through this flute band church, I kept going back and I really enjoyed it. It really was different. It was a different feeling, different fellowship and stuff. And there's a teaching of God and all within that as well. You know, then through that, I got an invite to go to another church. And another boy from Flute Band Church was speaking at his church. So I went along to show my support there. And, you know, this kind of church, it was different to any church I had been to before. You know, the worship music got to me. And I had to go away and order a worship CD for the car. Didn't have a CD player in the house, lived on my own. And I started driving about in the car listening to worship music. And then I discovered I can get this music on YouTube. So then I found it on YouTube in the house. I started listening to it at home too. This is the build-up to me coming under conviction and coming to faith. So I went to my friend's church that Sunday night. This was in April. Then these Bible verses started to come to me. It was sent to me by a Christian friend and then started to appear to me different places, and I kept repeating it to myself. And the Bible verse is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So I have been going to church from April on and off to September. And, you know, Sunday night, I used to drive in and out of the pub car park and then go round to the church car park. And then I used to drive home again while smoking my brains out, thinking, God doesn't want you. You know, there's times like I would have smoked up to 40 to 60 cigarettes a day and still didn't stop my growing. But, you know, how wrong was I to think that God did not want me? You know, so, so wrong. Now, we used to say at this church, if you want prayed for, go to the back. But, you know, I was already at the back because I was trying to sneak in at the back and think nobody would see me. Me, nearly 7 foot tall, thinking that I'll just sneak in the back, nobody's going to see you. Impossible. God will always see you anyway, you know. But Sunday nights were not good for me. I used to dread the start of another week. So like I say, after about 5 months of doing this on and off, I could hardly sleep one Sunday night. So I got up at 6 a.m. and something just came over me, like I was having an argument with myself, saying, are you going to wait another week and hope that somebody else comes and saves you? So I got up out of my bed. I looked up the sinner's prayer just on my phone. I knew I had it in a wee book down the stairs from an Alpha course, but I just looked it up on my phone and I got down on my knees and I cried out to the Lord and I meant it with all of my heart. And that is when he came flooding in and saved me and started his good work within me. And this is the sinner's prayer, which I use. I'm going to read it out for you now. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. I ask for your forgiveness and now turn away from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me to set me free from my sins. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit and be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I remember the place I was working in at that time. It was not your ideal job, you know, but I was very grateful for it, and it helped me get by. I remember that morning going into work. I was whistling down the yard. You know, I was walking into work whistling, full of joy, full of happiness, because I knew, you know, I knew I was saved. And boys were looking at me and saying, he's happy. So I was, you know. But I remember the job that I had to do that day. It was an awful dirty job, rotten job. I was working on roofs, and I had to go and clean up all this bird's poo on the roof. And I was whistling with the joy of the Lord in me cleaning that, and it was rotten. And people were sort of apologizing, I'm so sorry you have to do that job, but I didn't care what I had to do that day. Nothing would annoy me, because I knew that I was saved. So hallelujah, praise God for that. You know, and, you know, at the start, it wasn't always easy. Like, at the start, I found it hard to tell unbelievers. But people started to notice the change in me and ask and say things like, there's something different about you. You know, I had lost my main job in August, which was difficult. I gave my life to the Lord in September, and I got my job back in November. So hallelujah. Praise God for that too. Just before I got saved, I had awful thoughts about some of the things people who I thought had maybe done me wrong. And this is what I found myself doing. And it brought me great peace that I could not understand this peace, you know, that it brought me at this time. But this scripture sort of sums it up. And the scripture is from Matthew 5, 43 to 45. You have heard a law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. I had also been struggling with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. I was on medication for this. And, you know, it was a difficult time in my life. But, you know, God's brought me through it all. At times when I took this medication, you know, I felt just numb when I took this medication. I did not feel happy or sad. Just felt nothing at times. I found myself going to work, coming home, and just sitting there and staring in the space. But like I said, God has brought me through it all. After a year or so, I was really struggling again to understand things and get into reading my Bible. So I reached out to my lifelong friend, Andrew Topley, the Reverend Andrew Topley, who's been down here before, my lifelong friend. He grew up in that very same street as me, and God has brought us back together as well. So he called at my house, and I showed him the Bible I was using, and he opened it. And he asked, this is the Bible. He just opened it at the back, and he says, is this bookmark here in this place for any particular reason? And the bookmark was from a wee flower arrangement which I had left on my grandfather's grave. I had it laminated, and it got back to me when the flowers were dumped. You know, it's from my grandma's grave. And it was in my Bible at this passage of scripture. So 1 Peter 4:12-13. You know, if you picture the scene, I'm sitting there reaching out, really struggling, don't understand what's going on. And this is the scripture that God brought at that time. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all of the world. And in that moment, God was in the room with us. My good friend said, tell you what, mate, God is with us here right now. We were both laughing and crying at the same time. Well, more so me crying. Crying with tears of joy, feeling the presence of the Lord in my room. It's more so me crying than my good friend's happy, like I said. But, you know, it's a real privilege to be able to serve the Lord in any way that I can. He has blessed me in many ways as I serve him. Like being called to go to Uganda and helping out with the men's fellowship within my own church at Port of Dunedin. And also, as I mentioned before, I am a football referee and now serve as a sports chaplain to the football referees in the Northern Ireland Football League and Mid-Ulster Leagues. I get to serve the Lord in the mission field of sport, which is massive, massive mission field there that is sometimes forgotten about. But I also had the privilege of refereeing 3 games in Uganda. Yeah. And, you know, times I just see lost souls everywhere, and absolutely breaks my heart. I just want to help get people saved for God's glory and to show people no matter what you're going through, God can make a way through it all as he did for me. And just, yeah. Yeah, and just to be able to tell people, just tell them, don't be afraid to tell, to just encourage you, it's all in challenges to it, the same thing. Just don't be afraid to tell people. Jesus loves them. And he loves them with, as he loves me and you, he loves each one of them the same, with unconditional love. You know, I had hit rock bottom. I could not afford to buy food and pay my rent. You know, I also had to work with an organization called Christians Against Poverty. They helped me get back on my feet. They were fantastic with me. And also Helping Hands, with an organization linked to our church in Portadown. They helped me with food hampers and food parcels and towards getting heat for my house. And I'm so grateful for all the help that I received. I also had, like I say, I had to use food banks. You know, during COVID, I'm also chairman of our Northern Ireland Supporters Club in Portadown, as hub of the North Northern Ireland Supporters Club, which I set up after my granddad passed away. And, you know, during COVID, we were donating to the food banks there and bringing the parcels to the food bank. But, like, I wasn't telling anybody within the supporters club really at this time. But, you know, maybe a day or two later, I was going back to the food bank because I needed that food to survive. You know, the people were sending me there to get that stuff. I was so grateful for it, you know. And I'll just also say that to anybody, that don't ever be afraid to reach out. Don't sit there on your own. Reach out. You know, God is standing with the open arms to put somebody in your path to reach and give you what you need. Yeah, so. Sword just went off in one there, but I haven't written down, so I find my place again. And, you know, like I say, I'm so grateful. And at those times, you know, I come across these Bible verses. Bible verse for everything you're going through in life. It doesn't matter. Just open up and read it. And, yeah, God will speak to you through it. So Philippians 4, 12 and 14, at them times, these are the verses that come to me. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And if you read on down there, the first 19, it reads, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God the Father forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, so after 2 years or so of being saved, I got to the point of total and complete surrender. From my start of going to Port of Dunedin, that was in October 2021. I then met my now wife, Michelle, in January 2022. We had our second date at church, and we got baptized together at our church, and a year to the date that we met, we got married. And soon after that, we went to Uganda together. Michelle is a real blessing to me, and my children. And I love how we support each other as we serve the Lord together in different ways. The Bible verse that brought Michelle and I together is Joshua 24 and 15, where it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And finally, I just want to leave you with these thoughts and hope that you leave here tonight, as Paul said, different to the way that you come in. And Mark also said that as well, leave here different to the way that you come in. I also hope you feel challenged and encouraged, and that you do not leave without knowing Jesus. For he knows each one of you, and he wants a personal relationship with you all, and he loves you every minute of every day with unconditional love. And just in finishing, I want to leave you with these thoughts. Yeah. So, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me. Jesus is my captain, brother, rescuer, and friend. I owe everything to him. I will do anything. I will unashamedly make him known in all I do and say. I will not cheat in anything personal or professional. I will look away from the gutter, but be prepared to pull people out of it. I will keep my body fit from all addictions. I will put the welfare of those closest to me before my own welfare. I will treat all men and women as brothers and sisters. I will lead as he would lead. I will honour my leaders, provided this also honours him. I will follow him in company with my sisters and brothers. I will use my strength to protect the weak and stand against abuse of power. I will protect the world God has made. If I fail, I will not give up. He never gives up on me. Thank you all for listening. God bless you all.
Michelle, I'm stepping out on a limb here. Would you like to come up and share why The Goodness of God is your favourite song?
I was saved years ago, and then I slipped away and backslid for many years. And I am coming up saved 3 years. But my mum and dad have been Christians for years, sent me to Sunday school and all the rest, but they encouraged me every time there was a special occasion like Mother's Day or Easter, Christmas. Oh, come to church, come to church. And every Sunday or occasion that I went to church, there was the goodness of God. Every time. And every time I cried. And I mean, I couldn't even sing the song for crying. So in 2020, during lockdown, I hit rock bottom, took to the drink, and was very, very down, very suicidal. I did try and take my own life. And then Mum said to me, right, you need to come to church. After lockdown, the church was opened again. So I agreed, went to church, and I just had to give in because I was stubborn for years, and my mum and dad prayed for me. So if there's anybody out there have prodigal sons or daughters, keep praying, because I'm testament that you come home. Yeah, I don't cry as much now to that song because the goodness of God has got me to where I am. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to stand here and tell you that I have been blessed with the goodness of God through everything that I've went through. And even in them dark days, I did cry out to him. And he was there, because if he wasn't, I wouldn't be here.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.